one of my wife and I's favorite movies is You Got Mail, right? And I remember when Meg Ryan logs on and it says no new mail. When has that happened to any of us in the last 15 years?
Not since that movie.
Yeah, and that was about when, unless it's been like 8 minutes since you checked. You know, we get bombarded with emails. So nobody goes, you know what I really would like? I feel like I'm just not getting enough email. So I'm going to go subscribe to some newsletters. Nobody subscribes to newsletters. There are very few industries where that actually works.
Bigger doesn't always mean better. Welcome to the One Person Business Podcast, where people who are flying solo in business come for specific tips and advice to find success as a company of one. Here are your hosts, Joe Rando and Carly Reese.
Welcome to the One Person Business Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Rando.
And I'm Carly Reese.
And today, I'm not going to lie to you, our motives behind having our guest on today were partially selfish, because we are so interested in learning all about affiliate marketing. And our guest has been a go-to resource of ours and for a lot of people. Matt McWilliams is a four-time Affiliate Manager of the Year. Entrepreneurs and companies such as Shark Tank's Kevin Harrington, Stu McLaren, Adidas, Ray Edwards, Brian Tracy, Lewis Howes, Shutterfly, and Michael Hyatt have trusted him to run their affiliate launches. He helps online business owners make money as an affiliate and leverage the power of affiliate partners to grow their business. So guess what? He's qualified. So Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
We are so excited to have you. This is going to be the easiest question for you, but not for everybody listening. Can you explain what exactly affiliate marketing is and how people can make money from it, why it's a good tactic for solopreneurs and so on?
I don't know.
You thought that was kind of an easy question.
I'm still learning what it is, which is actually kind of cool. I kid. You know, at its simplest form, affiliate marketing is you recommend a product or service that you believe in, and in, you know, reward and compensation for that recommendation, the merchant, the company, the person is going to share in their, you know, in their revenue with you. That's called a commission, right? Again, that's a very simplistic explanation. I often joke. I mean, I think affiliate marketing has been around since the dawn of time. You know, I mean, you go back 5,000 years, they're like two Roman guys, you know, and I always struggle. I give this analogy and I need to come up with some Roman names because the only two that I know are from the movie Gladiator. So, you know, but the Roman.
How about Romulus and Remus?
Yeah. Roman A and Roman B are walking down the street and Roman B says, you know, hey, oh, you're hungry. You're looking for a sandwich. Let me take you down to the deli, you know, and I'll introduce you to, I don't know if they had delis in ancient Rome, but I'm assuming they did. Let me take you down to that deli and I'll introduce you to the owner. You buy a sandwich and the owner goes, hey, Roman B, thanks so much for the intro. Your next meal's on me. You know, that's all affiliate marketing is. When you really get down to its core. As far as how people make money from it, well, like, you know, like I said, the merchant, the product owner, the company, you know, however you want to word it, they're going to share a percentage of the revenue from that sale with you. Now, that's great for them because it's truly the only form of marketing, only form of paid marketing where you pay after the sale is made. So if you think about it from their perspective, you know, if they want good old Zuckerberg to send them traffic, they gotta write whatever the company's called now, Meta. They gotta write Meta a check, you know, so to speak. They gotta deposit into their ads account $500, $1,000, whatever it is, just to even get started with their ads. No guarantee. Zuckerberg is not personally guaranteeing you're gonna make a dime. From their perspective, the beauty is they make money before they spend it. And when I go back to 2005, right about this time, I mean, we're recording this in the spring of 2005, or no, we're not. We're recording this in the spring of 2022. But if I go back to the spring of 2005, Memorial Day weekend, 2005 was when I got started in this world of affiliate marketing. We needed a form of marketing for our company where it was exactly that. We got paid before we paid. And so, you know, you bring in, say, $1,000 in sales for them. They share some percentage of that. It depends on the product. You know, in digital course world, it might be 40 or 50%. In physical product world, it might be as low as 5 to 10%. Most things are somewhere in between those extremes. They're going to share that with you. You make money. Now, the beauty of it for you, you know, you ask, why is it a good tactic, right? When you're first starting out as a solopreneur, you know, let's just say you've got a blog and you're producing content. You don't yet know what your audience wants. First of all, you don't know what they want. Second of all, you don't know how to sell. You're not very good at selling usually unless you're in the sales profession. And thirdly, you know, you don't have the time or the money to create that good of a product. You know, I cringe when I look at the first recording of my very first course and the lighting's off. It was recorded on a camera that I think was roughly like, you know, 2 megapixels. You know, it was just terrible quality. I looked like I'd woke up, you know, out of bed and just like, you know, turned on my flip phone and started recording videos. It was just awful. You look at my courses now and they're well produced. Well, why is that? Because I know what the heck I'm doing, you know? And so you don't have a good product. You don't know how to market it. And you don't really even know if the product's even good for them. But with affiliate marketing, you begin to learn those things. And this is the beauty of it, is like, I can go out and pick 5 different products in 5 different sub niches, and I can promote them and see, okay, which one does my audience relate to better? I can promote 2 products that are almost identical in the same niche, and one's a $300 product and one's a $1,000 product. So I get to test price points. I get to test things like email subject lines and marketing methods and all those things without the risk of my own, you know, products. I've got a bookshelf over here, guys, that I keep in view of my office. I can see it right now just to the left of my left monitor, that's full of products that I created over the years that I never sold, or that only sold a few. I lost money on the creation of those products, and I keep it there as a reminder. That's not how you test what's going to sell. You test what's going to sell by picking products that are similar, that are already on the market, that you're going to make money on, and it's a guaranteed profit. If I sell one, I'm guaranteed to make money, versus if I have to buy 100 and only sell one, I'm guaranteed to lose money. And so those are some of the benefits that you know, solopreneurs are going to find.
Yeah, absolutely. And I never really thought of the audience research part of it, but that makes so much sense and just adds to the long list of why people should consider this. And before I go into my follow-up question, we are recording this basically on the eve of Memorial Weekend. So happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks.
To you. That's very exciting. But my follow-up to that is, this sounds very intriguing. So for people who are interested, where should they start first? You touched on this a little bit, but can you elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, step one is just to find a product that you could promote, like that would fit your audience. Odds are it's something that you're either currently using or you used when you were where your audience was. For example, if I'd never done affiliate marketing, where I'm at in my online business, I've been in business for 17 years, is a very different place than where my audience is, who are typically somewhere between day one and year 4. First of all, none of the stuff I used in 2005 even exists now. You know, it's a totally different world. But I would not recommend some of the tools that I use today. I would not recommend to my audience starting out. They're too expensive, you know, or they require too much expertise. They have, you know, they have features that you know, a beginner doesn't need, right? And so odds are, though, it's something that you either currently use or you've used in the past. So the first thing I say is look at your desktop, your literal physical desktop, and also your computer desktop. So for me, I can look at my physical desktop, and I've got laying open right here my planner, the Full Focus Planner from Michael Hyatt, right? And this is not an ad for him. It's just that I do recommend that. When people ask me, you know, Matt, you seem kind of organized and you've admitted that you have ADHD. So how is that? Well, this has been a huge help. And if you want to learn more about the Full Focus Planner, go to my toolbox page at mattmcwilliams.com/toolbox. And I write all about it, blah, 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 right? That's an easy way to do affiliate marketing. Somebody comes to you and says, what do you recommend for such and such? And then you send them to a resources page. Secondly, you know, look at your computer desktop. Look at what tabs do you constantly go to on your site? So for instance, I'm constantly going to ClickFunnels for our landing page stuff. I'm constantly going to Meet Edgar for our social media stuff. I'm constantly logging into certain courses. I'm constantly going, you know, to certain softwares and things like that. So I recommend those products. And so it should not take very long. If you look on your physical desktop, and your your computer desktop, or if you're in a niche like gardening, you know, I wouldn't recommend looking on your desktop. That'd be weird. If you keep your gardening supplies on your desk, that's very unusual. But go out to your gardening. You know, what do you have in your on your gardening table out in the garage or wherever, right? What are the tools that you're using? What are the things that, you know, what are the products that you're learning from? And just start recommending those tools and products. I mean, that is the simplest way to get started. From there, you're going to, obviously, you're going to need to apply to the affiliate program and hopefully get accepted. And I can, if you'd like, I can share a resource that'll help with that. But you need to get accepted, and I can show you how to do that. And then from there, you need to create a promotional plan. You need to actually sit down and just create a strategy for how you're going to promote this. Are you going to send, you know, 3 emails over the course of a week and 5 tweets and 2 Facebook posts, whatever it is, just create some sort of a plan. There's an old quote, I think it's MacArthur or Patton or one of those, Eisenhower, one of the military generals from World War II that's, you know, says no good plan survives the first shot in battle. But still, if you have a plan, it gives you a framework for how you're going to promote it. And that's key.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I'm thinking about like my computer desktop right now. It just has a notepad up of me feverishly taking notes to make sure I'm getting all of this down because these are such good little nuggets of wisdom. So let me ask you, you have come a long way since 2005 and you know what works now, what doesn't. I'm going to ask a 2-part question. What are common mistakes you see people make? And what do successful affiliate marketers do well?
Oh my gosh. What are the common mistakes? There's so many, unfortunately. I mean, number one is kind of what we just talked about, trying to promote something that's outside of your realm of expertise. It doesn't necessarily mean you've had to have used it. That's a whole separate topic in and of itself. But it's just something that, you know, the number one question you need to be asking is, do I understand the product? Right? There's a scorecard that we use. It's a 10-question scorecard. And the number one question is, do I understand the product? The number two question is, do I understand how to market this product? You know, do I have basic product knowledge? So picking products just for their commissions, just because you see dollar signs, is never a good idea. That would be mistake number one. Mistake number two would be going back to what I just said, like not having a plan, like, yeah, I'll promote that. And it just kind of becomes this like willy-nilly thing. And you end up sending one email and a Facebook post, and you go, why didn't I make any money? Well, duh. You sent one email and a Facebook post. You know, that was it. Matthew Kelly, he's a, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he wrote a book called The Dream Manager and a bunch of other books. And I'm going to butcher this quote, but he was speaking at a Cutco convention like 10 or 12 years ago, the Cutco knives. And he said something to the effect of like, the first time people hear it, they didn't hear it. The second time people hear it, you know, they begin to like, it sort of registers with them. I forget what he says for the third time, but my favorite thing is he says, the fourth time you say something, people go, this must be important because it's the second time I've heard it. And yeah. Then you go on down to like the 7th time, it finally registers with them.
Wow.
So if you send one email, first of all, if you send one email and a Facebook post, that means that, you know, if you have a pretty decent open rate of 25% and Facebook happens to show it to 10% of your audience, which would be nothing short of a miracle. That means that roughly 5% of your audience has seen it twice and maybe 30% seen it once. Just, you know, rough math there, right? In other words, almost nobody's seen it. And so that's a big mistake I see, is just like sending out one or two things and go, oh, I didn't make any money. Well, of course you didn't. They're not on that fourth repetition. Just some other mistakes that, you know, I see very commonly is not taking advantage of like the lowest hanging fruit. One of the best ways, if you've already got content out there, go through your blog post, go through your podcast episodes. If you talk about a book, put an Amazon link to it, an Amazon Associates link. That's what they call their affiliate program. Yeah, you're going to make 82 cents a sale, but it's 82 cents versus nothing. It takes an extra 2 seconds. You know, if you mention a book, link to it. If you mention a product, become an affiliate and link to it. If you mention a person, become an affiliate for them and just, you know, create an affiliate link to their general, you know, their general landing page or something where it can go to all their products. If you quote somebody, same kind of thing, like just not taking advantage of the lowest hanging fruit out there, your existing content. Fourthly is not to, I mentioned this earlier, but not creating a resources page. If you go to Matt McWilliams, I think it's mattmcwilliams.com/resources page, I walk you through step by step how to create a resources page. And it's the third most trafficked page on my website. There's my home page, my about page, and my resources page. All it is, it gets, you know, but roughly 10,000 views a month. All it is a page where I recommend the things that I recommend. And so anytime somebody emails me and says, "Hey Matt, what do you recommend for such and such?" We say, go to mattmcwilliams.com/toolbox. That's all of my recommended products. If it's not on there, I don't recommend it. You know, unless you ask me for like a recommendation for my favorite ginkgo biloba supplement, I'm not going to put that on that page because it's irrelevant. I might just, you know, say it's this and recommend it to you. Just for the record, I don't have a favorite ginkgo biloba.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was like, where did that come from?
You like them all? No favorite?
I like whatever one I'm taking right now, and I don't know what it is, but it does seem to work. And so, you know, we could go down that rabbit trail. But my point is, like, everything I recommend is on that page. So anytime somebody emails me or my support team or, you know, they text me on our text platform or whatever, then we just send them to that toolbox page. And the cool thing about that, just as a side note, I didn't think about this till years later, it's an easy answer. Like, I don't have to remember 52 different links for where my recommended things are. Like, oh, what's your link for this book? I don't know. Just go to mattmcwilliams.com/toolbox, click on the books page, and you'll go there, right? I don't know what my link is, you know, for that. So it makes it easy for me. But secondly, when they're on that toolbox page, they went there specifically, say, for my recommendation for my favorite email, you know, software. And then they scroll down and they see my recommendation for a podcast microphone and they go, oh, I need one of those too. I guess I'll just buy this one through Matt. So I actually end up making additional revenue just by having that one page. That's what I mean by low hanging fruit. People are already asking you, what do you recommend for such and such? People care about your recommendations, like regardless of whether you think so or not. Oh, I'm just a solopreneur. I'm not somebody famous. I only have 500 people in my audience. Okay. Those 500 people think you're a pretty big deal. Maybe 7 of them are related to you. So those 493 other people think you're a pretty big deal. They think you are the world's living expert on your subject matter and your recommendation carries weight. So when you say, I recommend this product, that's a big deal to them and they'll buy through you.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At LifeStar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar2rs.com. So quick question for you. You're talking a lot about promoting everything, people have to hear it numerous times before it resonates. You are big on building email lists.
Yeah.
So what are some tactics solopreneurs can use to grow that list so that they can get that message out there?
I mean, number one, you've got to have a carrot. You've got to have a carrot for people to want to subscribe. And it is not, would you like to get emails from me? No. I get plenty. You know, this is not one of my wife and I's favorite movies is You Got Mail, right? And I remember when Meg Ryan logs on and it says no new mail. When has that happened to any of us in the last 15 years?
Not since that movie.
Yeah, and that was about when, unless it's been like 8 minutes since you checked. You know, we get bombarded with emails. So nobody goes, you know what I really would like? I feel like I'm just not getting enough email. So I'm going to go subscribe to some newsletters. Nobody subscribes to newsletters. There are very few industries where that actually works. So I don't even talk about that. Like it does work in a handful of things, but most stuff it doesn't. You've got to have the carrot. You've got lead magnet, ethical bribe, opt-in, whatever you call it. You know, you've got to create something that people want to download, they want to watch, they want this information. Don't have a ton of time to go into like all the specifics of that. Actually, just to give you some perspective, it's about 15 pages long in my book that's coming out next year. So that gives you some idea of like, this is not a 3-minute answer. But Here's the quick thing. First of all, think of the mode that you're going to deliver this lead magnet in. Is it a cheat sheet? Is it a checklist? Is it some sort of assessment, right? Is it a quick video series? Is it a template? You know, what is it that your audience needs that's going to make their life better? You know, like it's going to solve their number one pain point. That's the big key. This isn't like, how do I solve three pain points? It's how do I solve number one pain point? The second thing is it's got to be a quick win. Like this needs to be something they can consume in 5 to 15 minutes. There are exceptions to that rule. If you're in a niche where you're dealing with like, you know, mental illness, I'm not suggesting you can solve, you know, bipolar disorder in 10 minutes with a cheat sheet. Okay. Please don't misunderstand me. Most of us are not dealing with that. Most of us are not dealing with that. We're dealing, you know, maybe we're in the productivity niche and we're looking to deliver 5 hacks that can help make you 5% more productive, right? That's a quick win. It can solve one pain point very quickly. I tell the story often. My dad passed away, actually about 2 months before that Memorial Day, 2005, and never owned a computer, never got on the internet a day in his life, made fun of me because I had a phone, you know, a cell phone. He's like, oh, who needs a cell phone? Like, why would you ever need to talk to somebody when you're walking through a store? You know, I'm like, I don't know, Dad. It's my only phone and that's the way it is. And it was still a flip phone at the time with like the 0.2 megapixel camera, but whatever. And
very high tech at that time though.
Oh, it was like super fancy, high tech. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it flipped. When you flipped it, you know, it had a QWERTY keyboard. So it was pretty awesome.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was an early adopter on the QWERTY. So my dad never owned a computer, but I think he had the best lead magnet of all time. And this occurred to me one day. I was thinking about my dad, and my dad was a golf instructor. And so he would go out on the practice tee. If you're a golfer, you can picture this. If you're not, do your best. And he would look for a golfer who there's a specific pose. And it's the, you know, leaning on the club, you just swung, hit a ball immediately, didn't even watch the ball land, immediately head down, leaning on the club, rakes another ball over, and then rinse and repeat. Hits it, head down, turns away from it. In other words, he's in pain. Now, I'm not suggesting that sucking at golf is on the same level as like, you know, your marriage is about to end pain. But either way, this person is in pain. There is a pain point. If you want to go bowling and you suck at bowling, that's a pain point. Same is true of golf. And he would find this person. Here's what he'd do. He'd go up to him and say, hey, can I give you, you know, just a quick free lesson? And he would have them do one thing. He would look for the one little thing that would give him that little glimmer of hope. It would solve the one problem they have. So their problem is not that they can't make short putts. They can't hit bunker shots. They can't hit pitch shots. They can't hit a pitching wedge inside, you know, on the green, blah, blah, blah. They've got one club in their hand. Maybe it's their driver. And they're hitting a 50-yard slice, which means the ball is curving 50 yards offline. And he would help them solve that one thing. He wouldn't help them hit it farther. He wouldn't help them, you know, do anything other than solve the 50-yard slice. One thing out of 100 possible things that could be wrong with their golf game. And he would solve that one problem and inevitably they would turn to him and go, oh my gosh, that was the best shot I've hit in months. By the way, do you do lessons? And he'd sell him $1,000 golf instruction package.
Wow.
That's what a lead magnet is when you think of it. It's that quick win for that one pain and in some sort of a format that's easily deliverable for you. So the question you ask, why is it so important? Because if you don't have an email list, you have nobody to market to. That's number one. And then as far as growing it, you've got to develop that carrot. Then number two, you've got to get that carrot out there in front of the right people, of course. And we could talk more in depth about that. But here's the thing that I'll leave you with on this. Your audience is already out there. All right. They're already in Facebook groups. They're already on other people's email lists. They're already, you know, searching online. They're already following certain hashtags on social media. They're already engaging with certain social media platforms. They're already listening to certain podcasts. So how do you grow your email list? You know, you take advantage of all those things. You participate in groups. You get interviewed on podcasts, which we can certainly go into that as well. You get affiliates of your own who can promote your products, which will grow your email list. You follow those hashtags and, you know, I've did this once with Downton Abbey. I remember years ago, this is before I started teaching affiliate marketing. And there was it was the finale. It was the only episode in my entire life I ever watched of Downton Abbey that was live on PBS, right? Masterpiece Theater. Every other one I watched on either on DVD or, you know, on the PBS app, like the day after or whatever it aired. But I watched this one live, and I'd released a video like a month before with a quote from Downton Abbey. And so the hashtag Downton Abbey was trending, and three times during the, like, you know, the hour leading up to it, during the episode, and right after, I posted a comment, and it led back to that link. I got over 2,000 clicks in a 2-hour span just to that, just to those three tweets using that hashtag. And it wasn't rocket science, you know, and I couldn't measure how many subscribers I got. Maybe I only got 5 subscribers, but three tweets took me like 45 seconds to write those tweets. I can't think of many other things I can personally do in 45 seconds to gain 5 subscribers. You know, if I could somehow replicate that for 5 hours a day, I don't even know the math on that, but it'd be a crap ton of subscribers, you know? So think of ways that you can tap into the existing audience that's already out there.
Oh, Matt, I said this earlier, but you've had such great nuggets of wisdom throughout all of this. I feel like some of these could even be quotable, which actually leads me to my big question for you is, what is your favorite quote about success, and what has driven you?
I've got two that I've lived by for, I don't know, 20, 30 years since I've been an entrepreneur, at least, which I'm thinking of it. Yeah, it's been about 20 years now. The one is from Michael Jordan. You know, he says, I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. And, you know, that ties, I mean, it's such a cliche when you think about it. You know, Winston Churchill says, you know, success is stumbling from failure to failure and something like that, you know, and not giving up. I butchered that one, but, you know, the idea of just the reason why I'm here is because of failure. I told a client earlier, we were talking about split testing. I told him, I'm not a good marketer because I'm smart. I'm not a good marketer because I get it right. I'm a good marketer because I'm willing to be wrong thousands of times. If you think about split testing, some people are like, I'm going to split test A versus B, and I think A is going to win. And if B wins, that sucks. And I'm like, no, if B wins, that means I would have done A, but instead I got B. That's even better. Like, I'm wrong for 3 weeks, and I get to be right for 3 years or 10 years. Mm-hmm. The second one is from Jay-Z, actually. I have to paint the picture on this, because if I say it out loud, it might not make sense. He said that I'm not a businessman. So one word, businessman. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business, comma, man. And I mean, for me, and just like Jay-Z, you know, this is about, it sounds weird. It's like, it's all about me. Well, that's super humble. But you know, it is a personal brand. And so I am a business. You know, our business, right or wrong, it rises and falls on my reputation. And the weight that I feel, like, you know, note to self, don't get a DUI. That would really kind of ruin my business, you know, but that's the weight I feel. Cause like our entire team is contingent upon that, you know, I feel for them, but yeah, I mean, it just the idea of like that personal brand and building that personal brand is something that's really kind of an ethos I've lived by for, you know, a solid 10, 12 years.
Absolutely. And you have done such a great job of doing that. And we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I feel like we can listen to you talk for the next 10 hours. So instead of putting you through that, where can people find all the resources you've been talking about and you and everything online?
Yeah. You know, I'll go back to the first question you asked, like, how do you get started? I got to barely tap into that. So I would say if you go to mattmcwilliams.com/quickstart. So mattmcwilliams.com/quickstart. You can download the quick start guide to getting started with affiliate marketing. Side note, that's a carrot. All right. I did not say go join my newsletter. You know, I just want to go back to that. Like, you are going to get an amazing resource there that's going to help you get started with affiliate marketing that hopefully will be a quick win for you, a quick solution to a pain point, which is how do I get started with affiliate marketing? And then from there, you know, hopefully you'll want to read some of my other articles and listen to the podcast. And then one day, maybe even, you know, say, hey, Matt, I think I'd like to take it to the next level and join, you know, one of your courses. That's what I was just talking about, you know? And so to your point, that's one of the ways you grow your email list there.
Well, Matt, as somebody that has downloaded that guide and a podcast listener of yours, I can vouch for both of those resources.
Thank you.
So highly recommend our audience does that. Thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
And that wraps up another episode of the One Person Business Podcast. To listen to more episodes and subscribe, be sure to visit lifestarwith2rs.com/podcast, or you can find us anywhere you listen to your shows. We'll see you next time.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At Lifestar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestarwith2rs.com.